Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who appreciates a nice hot meal at a fair price, Pete Chwaba.
Hey, Wisconsin. Welcome to Nightlight with Pete Chwaba. Great to have you with me. Wherever you're listening in our state, it's great to have you, and I hope you're having a wonderful evening. It is pouring rain here in Northeast Wisconsin, but lucky me, I scored me a parking spot right outside the door. So I can't wait to barely get wet when I go to my car. It's these little victories in life, folks. That's what we have to celebrate. And that's what we do every night here on Nightlight when we talk about movies and TV shows that we love to watch and music we love to listen to and the things that bring us together in this wonderful thing we called life. We call life. We don't call it. It's not past tense. We're still living life. Thank goodness. Great to have you with me. Riding shotgun tonight, as always, is Conrad. Conrad, how are you?
You know, I didn't get that small victory. I'm parked in the parking garage, so I'm going to get wet.
Well, it could stop. We got a ways to go yet before you got to walk over there, buddy. You could Uber it to the parking garage.
I think that would be a little waste of money.
Think so?
I'm going to be honest.
Probably only be about a buck. Not that far away. I mean, come on. Or you could just get a job over at Schreiber, and then you're just right there. But that would defeat the whole purpose. Got a fun show for you guys tonight. It is a holiday week. And maybe you're already done working. I don't know. A lot of people, I think, take the third off. And who could blame you? You work hard. And even when you're working this week, I think I saw this thing. Todd Michael shared this with me. It says, are you phoning it in at work this week? If so, you're not alone. 45% of American workers don't expect to get much done between now and 4th of July weekend. That's how many agreed with the statement. I barely get any work done around July 4th. So, if half of us aren't doing much anyway, should we just get the whole week off? Yeah, why not? Half of Americans want it to happen. 49% think companies should shut down for the entire week of the 4th of July. And a lot of those votes are young people. 61% of millennials and Gen Zers said yes, compared to 32% of people older than that. 56% of young people say working the week of the 4th should be seen as taboo in work culture. Overall, 35% of us think we'd be more productive the rest of the year if we knew we were getting a full week off in July. 28% claim they'd work harder, and 22% would be more likely to recommend their company to friends and family. I would love to know who thinks, because there's always those people out there that just want to be ruled and told what to do. So I'm sure on this survey, there are people they talked to that said, no, we should work. We shouldn't even get the fourth off. I like to work. Pro corporation, let's do this. They're providing us jobs. We should do whatever they want. I know those people are out there, but it sounds like most people want the fourth off or the week of the fourth off. I think this is perfect. We're doing three shows and then we're going to do a best of on Thursday. And we're going to have new content for you guys on Friday night. That'll be fun. We won't be here. It's pre-recorded, but it's all new stuff. So that's a happy medium. Conrad, you're a Gen Zer?
I don't even know.
Typical Gen Zer. You don't even know what you are. What do you think? Should people have the whole week of the fourth off?
I mean, why not?
Yeah.
Give us a couple extra days.
It's not your money. I don't have a problem with that. Why not? I think overall, a four-day work week would be great. 10 hours a day, 4 days a week. And I think people would come back to work at the beginning of the week so refreshed with a three-day weekend. And I think most people want that. And companies are letting people work from home more and more now anyway. If you trust people to be away from an office and work, don't you trust them to get their work done in 4 days? I don't know. Interesting stuff. So either way, we all have the fourth off. That'll be fun. And I hope you guys all celebrate safely. Tonight, we have a great show. Earl Ingram Jr. is here. He is a host of the Earl Ingram Show here on Civic Media. Earl is a Milwaukee native and is kind of a radio legend. He's been around over 20 years, I believe. And has a great voice and a very astute argument. I love when he takes calls, and I have to admit, I used to listen to him more than I do now because I was up earlier. Now I try to sleep in a little bit because I'm on at night, but love Earl's show. If you haven't checked it out here at Civic Media, highly recommend it. Good stuff. We'll talk to Earl about his career in radio when he joins me at 7:35. I'm going to ask him what movies he's watching. I'm going to ask Earl, he's older than me, but I'm going to ask him what he thought of the film Airplane. And I'm going to ask him what he thought of the film Boys in the Hood, because those two films were released today. This is their actual release date. Boys in the Hood in 1991 and Airplane in 1980. And both those films are probably in my top 50 all-time films. Loved Boys in the Hood and loved Airplane before I even knew what comedy was. Great movie. So we'll talk to Earl at 7:35. That'll be fun. Joby Sad will join me, a comedian, very funny Nashville-based comedian, will join us at 8:20 tonight. Joby has a gig here in Green Bay over here at the KI Convention Center. And we'll talk to Joby about the gig. I met Joby. We were trying to figure out where we knew each other from. I've known his name my whole career, and he's known my face. So together, it's like we knew each other because I knew his name. He knew my face. And Joby's a very funny guy, Nashville-based, as I mentioned. And I thought he lived in L.A. for a while, but we'll talk to him about it. We'll talk to him about his gig here in Green Bay this weekend. He did a dry bar special, which is a very cool thing to do for clean comics only. So Joby can work clean. I don't know if he works clean exclusively, but we'll ask him that. We have a couple clips that we'll play that we can sort of tease and let you guys know how funny he is, so you want to buy tickets and go see him this weekend. And that's the show. And tonight's question, okay, I read this. When I do these Hollywood beats here at Civic Media, they're so fun to write. Eddie Murphy, his favorite actor growing up was Marlon Brando, and he watched The Godfather over and over. He said when he got to meet Brando, it was just kind of strange. I think, like, the mystique goes away when you get to meet your idols. But Eddie Murphy said the second time he hung out with Brando, Brando said, "I can't stand that kid with the gun." And he was referring to actor Clint Eastwood. That kid with the gun. Eastwood was 6 years younger than Brando. The first time the two met, Murphy gushed to his favorite actor of all time, Brando, about his performance in The Godfather. Like, just heaping praise on Marlon Brando the first time they met. And Brando says, everybody can act. So, what a buzzkill. Not that you want Brando to say, yeah, I'm the greatest actor of all time, but a lot of people think he is. So that leads me to tonight's question. Who is the greatest actor of all time, in your opinion? You can go actress, although we'll do that question maybe tomorrow night. We'll do actor tonight, actress tomorrow. But if you insist on saying an actress, that's totally fine too. Just share with us who you think the greatest actor of all time is. Eddie Murphy says Marlon Brando, or said Marlon Brando until he met him. I don't know that he still felt the same way after that. But I want to know who yours is. And you can text us at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know. Conrad is here to take your text and tell you how you could watch Nightlight on the radio.
Yeah, so on our Facebook, we're under WGBW or under Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. On YouTube, we're under Civic Media. And on Twitter or X, WGBW.
Very well done. We are here for you, so let us know. I hope the fact that people don't want to work this week necessarily doesn't mean they don't want to listen to Nightlight. I hope we still have your attention, and we will make you happy tonight with all of our talk about comedy and movies and TV. Jim says, good evening, Pete and Conrad. Hey, Jim. Jim had some great texts last night. Good to have you with us, buddy. Glad you're here. This was an interesting story I saw. I don't know if you know this, Conrad, but sometimes women, when they can't have children, or they're not married to a man, they can use a sperm donor. Were you aware of that?
I was, and the main reason, 2013 film, Delivery Man, with Vince Vaughn.
Okay, so most of your reproductive knowledge comes from Vince Vaughn films. No, what was that? Was he a sperm donor in that?
He has like, I think 30 kids from his sperm.
Wow.
And then they all like actually meet.
Oh, I remember that. I did not see it, but I do remember it. Yeah, David Crosby. Supposedly, Melissa Etheridge and her partner, I think her name was Julie Cypher, they wanted to have kids. Julie Cypher was adopted. She never knew her dad. So they wanted to have a child, and they wanted to know who the father was. And David Crosby and Melissa Etheridge, both musicians, both famous musicians, were friends. David Crosby's wife offered David Crosby's sperm to Melissa Etheridge. Now, that's a pal. He lent a hand, so to speak. Sorry, I couldn't resist. But it's just weird. I mean, look, guys do that, but it's weird to think, like, when you tell me David Crosby donated sperm, I just picture him doing that, and I don't need to picture that ever. Or think about it. It's like when you see someone leaving the stall in the bathroom before you go in. I can use the stall. I don't want to see who was in it before me, though. That's a turnoff. Unless it was Conrad. I trust that you keep your hygienic.
Well, luckily we have two bathrooms here.
We have two bathrooms here, correct. But David Crosby, and apparently he's loaned his sperm to a lot of other people too. So he's got a lot of kids out there too. I'm not saying he's in Vince Vaughn fictitious territory.
Yeah, so Vince Vaughn in that movie actually had 533 children.
And you know what was really impressive? He only donated 9 sperm. Somehow. He had 500 kids. All right. So coming up next, Earl Ingram is here at 7:35. Very excited to talk to Earl. Coming up next on Nightlight, we're going to talk about one of those films that dropped today in 1980. And it's called Airplane. And we'll hear we'll hear some Joby Sad too. Our comedian friend who will be here at 8:20. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Jim from Appleton says, first thought on greatest actor, Orson Welles. You could certainly make that argument. I don't know. It's hard, like, I mean, a great actor is a great actor. But sometimes it's hard for me to watch the older actors, like from the 50s and 40s. Because I think there was just a different style then. And it doesn't mean they're not as good as an actor today, or that an actor today is better than an actor of yesteryear, just because I do think styles change. Steve in Florida says, greatest actor of all time, tough to name one. Steve's top 5, Jimmy Stewart, Jack Nicholson, Paul Newman, Gene Hackman, and Robin Williams. Wow, yeah, that's a list. Hard to go wrong with any of those, if you had any of those at number one. I do like Nicholson when he was younger. I feel like when he got older, he kind of became a caricature of himself. He was still a great actor. But I like him when he was younger, like in The Last Detail or in Chinatown. But he's great. Jimmy Stewart, I think a lot of people would agree with you, Steve. Jimmy Stewart was great. He's kind of got that old style too, though. Although in It's a Wonderful Life, yeah, Jimmy Stewart's great. You can't even poke a hole in any of that. Robin Williams, too. I actually enjoy Robin Williams more as an actor than I do as a comedian. He had a very fast mind. He was very quick. But he would say stuff so fast, I almost felt like it was like a stream of consciousness. It was not all gold. He said funny things, and he was very witty. But I liked him better as an actor than I did as a comedian. And I don't think I'm alone there. I think a lot of people would disagree with that, but I think a lot of people agree with it too. Where I totally agree with you, Steve, Paul Newman, I think he is just ageless in terms of like different eras of acting. Paul Newman might be my all-time favorite. And maybe Gene Hackman, he's right up there too. I mean, talk about versatile. These are all great. I would add a couple lesser known titles to that too. Maybe Sean Penn. Maybe William Peterson, who is not nearly as well known, but has a great body of work. I don't need to even add CSI to that list, but his work in films is stellar. All right, we have a phone call. Let's go to the phones. Conrad from the 608, Mark in Prairie du Sac. Hey, Mark.
Yeah, I don't know if it's one of the greatest movies of all time, but it stars some two very good actors. It stars Cary Grant and Katharine Hepburn, but the movie is called Bringing Up Baby.
Oh, yeah.
And Cary Grant plays a paleontologist whose life is turned completely upside down by Katharine Hepburn, who is a young heiress, and it's described as a screwball comedy, but it is a hoot. What amazed me is the sophistication and the sexual innuendo you see throughout this movie, and I think it's from before World War II. I mean, so
yeah.
It would be considered racy today, even I think that because there's a lot of suggestive material in it that, of course, they couldn't play on the big screen back then. But, I mean, it's a lot of fun. I mean, I think I saw it on, like, a late movie, and I actually have it now on disc because it's worth a watch every once in a while if you want to laugh.
I appreciate that. And I have not seen it, Mark, in so long. I think I saw that when I was a kid. So I don't even really remember much about it. So that would be good for a revisit. And, yeah, Cary Grant, you could certainly add to that list. He's phenomenal.
Yeah.
I just watched North by Northwest about 2 weeks ago, and yeah, he's fantastic. That's a great choice.
Yeah, and do you have a good resource? There's a science fiction movie I saw when I was a kid. I only saw it once, It portrayed this kid, the prequel within the movie of it, this kid's uncle gives him this box with kind of a cone, sort of a cone on one end, and he drops it. And it opens up, and he falls asleep, and there's these crystals inside. He falls asleep with these crystals in his hand and has this dream about a far-off world where they're fighting off alien spaceships. And it turns out when he becomes an adult, he actually gets spirited away to that world, and they use the equipment. And these boxes are actually some kind of memory box.
Holy
smokes. You plug them in with a headset, and they fought off the alien invaders to the whatever planet it was.
What movie was that?
I don't know what the name of it was. Okay. I've been trying to find the name of it, and I just wonder if there's a good resource out there, because I've looked through lists of movies, and I can't find one that matches.
You know what I would do, Mark? If you can remember one line of dialogue or something unique about the setting or dialogue, you could Google that. I've done that with like song lyrics and lines from movies, and sometimes the movie comes up. So that might be a good way to do it. But other than that, it doesn't really sound familiar to me.
When they get to whatever that pet, when they... people get spirited away to this planet. They come and there's this figure slumped over a console, kind of a skeleton figure slipped over the console with dressed in a spacesuit kind of thing. But he slumped over the console, and they figure out what they're supposed to do and drive off the alien invaders. So
okay, well we'll do some Googling here. If we come up with anything, we will we'll definitely share.
Thanks, your brother.
All right, you got it, Mark. Have a great night. Thanks for the call.
Okay,
you too.
Bye-bye.
That's great. I think we should Google crystals, console, alien invaders, and then just put Mountain Dew in there for fun. See what we can do in the next break. From the 608, Chris Casper from Madison. Slapshot, Paul Newman. He plays such a great POS. I don't think he was a POS, was he, Chris? He was hilarious. That's one of my all-time favorite movies. I say that a lot, so I have a lot of all-time favorite movies. But it's hard to rank this stuff. I mean, but Paul Newman, to be able to do Slapshot, and then The Sting, and then The Verdict, and then Cool Hand Luke, you almost have to say Paul Newman. He's probably my all-time favorite. So anyway, that's our question tonight. Who is the greatest actor of all time? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I'm not going to read all the texts. Keep them clean, folks, and keep them positive and upbeat. All right, so the film Airplane dropped today in 1980, and we have a clip. Do the greatest one of all time. This is Leslie Nielsen talking to Peter Graves. Peter Graves plays the pilot, who is the one who asks the kid if he's ever been to men's locker rooms in Turkish prisons. It's horribly creepy nowadays, but back then everybody laughed at it. But Peter Graves is still really funny aside from that. And this is Leslie Nielsen and Peter Graves discussing the predicament they're in with this airplane.
Captain, how soon can you land?
I can't tell.
You can tell me I'm a doctor.
No, I mean, I'm just not sure.
Well, can't you take a guess?
Well, not for another 2 hours.
You can't take a guess for another 2 hours?
No. I mean, we can't land for another 2 hours. Fog has closed down everything this side of the mountains. We've got to get through to Chicago.
So bad. Have you seen that movie, K-Rad?
Yes, I've seen it multiple times.
Okay. Did you see the second one?
I actually have never seen the second one, because I forget who told me, but they said it sucks.
The second one? Eh, yeah. It's, don't blaspheme. They're from Wisconsin, the guys who created the... All right, coming up next on Nightlight, Christopher Walken from the 773. Christopher Walken. You got to add him to the list. All right, Earl Ingram coming up next. Excited to talk to my old pal. This is Peach Wobba Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Here comes my baby. Here she comes.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Peach Wobba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right. It's all right. And now, a guy who does his own stunts, Peach Wobba.
Welcome back. Great to have you with me tonight, wherever you're listening. In Wisconsin, our question tonight is, who is the greatest actor of all time? Let us know, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or you can text us on the app. It is so easy to do, and I know you already have the app, but in case you don't, it's so easy to use. So I highly recommend you download it, and you just click on any station, because we're on statewide, and let us know what you're thinking at any point during the show. Love to hear from you, regardless of the topic. And you are welcome to text in the next few minutes, too. My next guest, I'm very excited to have this gentleman on the show. He is the host of the Earl Ingram Show here on Civic Media. And you might know him as Earl Ingram Jr. He joins us now on the phone. Hey, Earl.
How you doing, sir? It is a high honor and privilege to have an opportunity to appear on your show.
Well, I mean, the honor is all on this side of the microphone, if you will. You and I met, Earl, at the Christmas party. I don't know if you remember this. You had just dyed your hair. And
yes, sir.
I did not even, like, I was doing news back then, and I would hear your show when I was doing news, and you had a picture on Civic Media. And I looked over, and I'm like, is that Earl's son? Like, I thought Earl Ingram was here because I wanted to talk to you and invite you on the show. And I didn't do it until the end of the night because someone told me, oh, no, that's him. He just dyed his hair. You looked like you were 35 years old.
Well, so how that came about is I would do a segment every Monday under the helmet with the grave digger, Gilbert Brown.
Oh, right. Okay.
And so Gilbert Brown, the Detroit Lions played the Green Bay Packers in Detroit. And the Lions were really good last year. Mm-hmm. And so Gilbert Brown made me a bet that the Packers would beat the Lions. And he said, if I lose, I'm going to give you an autographed Gilbert Brown jersey. But if you lose, you're going to dye your hair black. Well, needless to say, I lost. And so I wound up dyeing my hair black. So,
is it still black, or did you go back to gray?
Well, it's a combination of both.
Okay.
Since I just turned 70 2 weeks ago, I kind of realized that I look just a wee bit younger. And my wife of 43 years doesn't want me to go back to all white hair.
You know,
not anyway soon.
Your wife looks very young too. So that's part of the, during the night of the party, I was like, I totally bought that you were not Earl Ingram because you were with this woman who looked much younger than you did with gray hair, but you guys look like a perfect match when you had your hair dyed.
Well, my wife is 60. She'll be 69.
Okay.
And we've been married 43 years.
Wow. That's a good run, buddy.
Well, you know, this is the remains of a once mighty warrior.
So
Tell her I said that.
I won't. I hope she's not listening. I hope she is listening, but I hope she...
Oh, she's in an airplane right now. Okay. So anyway.
Hopefully she got distracted. So when you're born with a voice like yours, Earl, do you pretty much have to go into radio?
No, you know, my voice is, I spent 34 years of my life, in industry.
Oh, really?
So, you know, I worked in the automobile industry.
Huh.
And so the one thing that we did is we wore a lot of, hearing protection. And so when you spoke to somebody, you really had to speak loud. And and so over those years, I guess my voice, wound up getting stronger because if I had to speak to somebody, you had to really talk loud. So I don't know anything distinctive about my voice. People tell me it's distinctive, but I don't know. I don't notice anything about it. I don't think it's any different than anybody else.
No, you got some, like, I don't know if I want to call it grit, because that doesn't make it sound like... You just have a great voice. It's unique. And I always feel like a unique voice is better than like a perfect instrument type voice. It's just memorable. And when you talk with this, like this soundtrack almost that lets the people know that you're talking to, like, yes, I've lived this. I know what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? It's like hard to refute what you're saying because your voice says, you know what you're talking about. If that makes sense.
Well, I have lived some things. You don't live to be 310 without having lived some things. So
I would imagine that.
Hang on, Jamari. So that's a young man, a disabled young man that my wife and I have been raising for 21 years. He requires 24-hour care. He wanders off time to time. So he just wandered up the street. So I had to call him back. But go ahead.
Okay. All right. Let me know if you have to go. That's totally understandable.
No, I'm fine. No, we're fine now. I got him.
So for those of my listeners who might not know of your show or listen to it regularly, give us a little overview of what they could expect to hear when they tune into the Earl Ingram Jr. show.
Well, so I think radio is, for me, is about information. And, and so every day that I get up, every morning, and I scour, you know, many different outlets, it is with the intent and purpose of making sure that, you know, people, we live in a time where there are things going on that the average American is not aware of.
Right.
And so... the whole world is changing, and not always for the better. And so we live in a government that people don't know how it works. It's supposedly a representative government. But when we elect people, we've got a presidential election coming up. What I've learned is we elect people, and we don't hold them accountable. And so when you live in a representative system, and you elect somebody, and those people I refer to it as politricks and politricksters. And so what is a politrickster? Somebody who tells you one thing and does another. They come to you and say, vote for me, and I'll do this for you. Whether it's on state level, local level, or national level. And then those same people sit down with somebody called a lobbyist, and then are willing, both Democrats and Republicans, to not do the bidding of the people who put them in office.
Right.
So I always like to, you know, talk about those kinds of things, because it's just not right to me.
Right.
That we live in a nation that takes advantage, and businesses that take advantage of the people.
Talk is cheap, right?
Yes.
When you're in your bio, it says on your show, you like to talk about religion, pop culture, and politics. I've heard you talk about politics quite a bit, so I assume that's your favorite, but would I be right to assume that? Or would you rather talk pop culture, religion? What are your favorite topics to talk about?
Well, everything. I talk about a whole array of things, because a whole array of things interest me. You know, the things that people say you shouldn't talk about, I want to talk about, because yeah. I think anytime you tell people that you shouldn't talk about these things because people have different opinions on it, well, you know, how do you begin to fix the differences that we have if we can't have dialogue and conversation about those things? So the things that, you know, more times than not, they say you shouldn't talk about politics and religion, those are the things I want to talk about the most.
Absolutely. That's a great answer. So have you had, you've been doing this for so long. First of all, I meant to ask you before, how did you go from the automotive industry? How did you make that transition from there to radio?
Well, you know, I used to listen to a lot of talk radio in my time. You know, even as a young boy, I guess I never really understood why, but, you know, I'm from an era when there was only three channels.
Right.
And, you know, and the televisions were all in black and white, and, you know, there was 6, 4, 12, and then Channel 10 came into existence, and so Channel 10 had some talk formats. My dad always listened to talk radio when we got in the car, so I never understood that it was having some impact on me that I didn't know about, but apparently it really did. And so you ever hear of a guy named Mark Billing or Charlie Sykes or Jay Weber, Vicki McKenna? Well, I used to call them and trouble them. So whenever they would talk about my community, I would always call them and give them the other side of the coin.
Oh, wow.
And it got to a point where every time they would say something egregious about my community, I would respond. And it got to the point where every time I'd get off the phone, their phone lines would light up, and the response would always be, "That guy Earl from the northwest side of town." So probably did that for at least 6 years or more. And gathered a cottage industry listening audience, and former Green Bay Packer and NFL Hall of Famer Willie Davis owned some radio stations, and he heard me on those, calling those folk up. I got to the point where I was calling them up every day.
Wow,
and
good for
so
you!
He gave me an opportunity. He thought that I had some. Something to say, and so he gave me an opportunity, and as they say, the rest is history.
My guest is Earl Ingram Jr. He is the host of the Earl Ingram Show, which you can catch here at Civic Media between 8 and 10 every morning. That's interesting. I have a story actually about Charlie Sykes. I used to do fill-in work at that radio station, and I was the first butt in that seat when he retired, because I was filling in for the guy that went after him. And he walked out of the studio with a dog, and I was like trying to hold back sneezes the entire time I was on the air. So that's my Charlie Sykes story.
Well, and you know, Charlie Sykes was a staunch conservative.
Yeah.
And he was the guy who orchestrated getting Scott Walker elected.
Right.
And he one of those guys that pushed and pushed and pushed for Donald Trump the first time around. But somewhere along the line, he found religion, or so he said.
Right.
And changed the stripes.
He sure did. Now he's on MSNBC.
I still don't believe it, but
yeah,
you know, the people nationally don't know who he was, but I certainly do.
Yeah. Boy, that's...
And he knows who I am.
Yeah, because you used to pester him on the phone every day.
Right. Yes, sir.
So who has been... Do you have a favorite guest, Earl, that you've had in your radio years? Someone... Maybe you like to talk to them regularly, or it was just a memorable appearance?
Well, so I've been fortunate. I've had a chance to interview Michelle Obama, President Obama,
nice.
Oprah Winfrey. You name major stars. I've had the opportunity to interview them. And as a matter of fact, it just so happens that tomorrow I'll be interviewing the President of the United States, Joe Biden.
On your show?
Yes.
Oh, tune in for that, folks. That's tomorrow from 8 to 10.
Well, no. Well, what they're going to do is I'm going to record it at 2 o'clock, and we'll play it back on my show on Friday at 8:15.
All right, perfect. That's a great plug. We'll be right back with more with Earl Ingram Jr., host of the Earl Ingram Show here on Civic Media. This is Pete Schwab. You're listening to Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. Who is the greatest actor of all time? That is our question tonight. Eddie Murphy is responsible for this question because he told a story about meeting Marlon Brando, at the time his favorite actor of all time, and had kind of a strange conversation with him about Clint Eastwood. So that is our question tonight. And who is your favorite actor of all time, or who is the greatest actor of all time? 855-752-4842. Let us know. And we will read it on the radio. Right now, joining me on the phone is Earl Ingram Jr. He's the host of the Earl Ingram Show here on Civic Media from 8 to 10 in the morning every day. Earl, talk about that. Let's plug that one more time. That's a pretty heavy hitter you're talking to tomorrow that you'll broadcast on Friday morning.
Yeah, well, so I got a call on yesterday. I was having a conversation, and I looked at my phone, and it was a 248 number, and it kept ringing. So well, this must be, you know, one of these people who calls and they act like they know you.
Yeah.
You answer the phone. Hey, Earl, how you doing? So they don't know you from Adam, but you know, they've got us confused. And so I dismissed it and they stopped calling and they called back a second time. And the same thing happened. So they called the third time. I told them, listen, let me answer this call. And it says, and the person said, hello, it's Earl Ingram. I said, yes, it's Earl Ingram. They said, well, this is the White House. I'm like,
oh my gosh.
The what house? it's the White House. How would you like to interview President Barack Obama? I mean, it's President Joe Biden. on Wednesday, and I'm like, yeah.
Let me see if I can squeeze him in.
And so, you know, it's an honor that Civic Media deserves, and Civic Media gave me an opportunity. Civic Media gave us all a platform, and so I don't interview him on at the behest of Earl Ingram, but representing our great networks that have been created.
Yeah.
That has answered the prayers of many of us who long for an opportunity to challenge conservative squawk radio.
Can I, if I'm overstepping something here, just let me know, but can you give us a little primer? Do you have a question? I'm sure you have questions lined up, but can you tease a little bit of what you're going to ask him, or maybe one of your questions?
Well, he's the president of the United States. So they asked me, they said, well, you know, they don't want the president of the United States to be blindsided.
Sure.
So, you know, we're basically going to talk about the things that he's accomplished, which are many.
Absolutely.
And in the face of what is transpiring with his age and with what happened at the debate, the last thing they need is some shock jock, you know, trying to get a name. So I clearly made it clear to them they won't have to worry about me.
Yeah.
I'm honored that the president and his people think that I'm worthy of having a conversation with him. So, you know, we're going to take it in the direction that he wants to take it. And he's the president of the United States.
Yes, he is. And just a suggestion, not that you need to take it from me. You're a radio guy. You know your stuff, but I would ask him, should I, Earl Ingram, keep the black hair or the gray hair? Mr. President, if you please.
hey, well, you know, there'll be time enough for the gray hair.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's not going away. It doesn't return to the way it once was.
That's right.
So there'll be plenty of time, hopefully, for me to be around with gray hair.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope so, too. So one of these days, Earl, I'll have to have you back and we can talk. I would love to have a more in-depth talk about Milwaukee with you because you seem to know it inside and out. We just got a text from the 608. Kenneth said, Earl reminds me of Eugene Kane, a columnist with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel some years ago. Do you know who that is?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Eugene Kane was a wonderful, wonderful reporter from Philadelphia. I'm born and raised in Milwaukee. That's
right.
The difference. And I'm going to die in Milwaukee. It's my home. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to die here. And so that's the difference. Eugene Kane was from Philadelphia. Great reporter. Won all sorts of awards for his ability to write.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I knew him well.
I did Google him before I read that text on here just to make sure he was a good guy. So real quick, Earl, we have about a minute left. What on this day in 1991, Boys in the Hood was released. And on this day in 1980, Airplane was released. Those are the two big releases of today. Do you have an opinion on either one of those films? And if you could share
let me tell you quickly.
Yeah.
You're talking to a guy who almost every night watches movies, the noir movies from the 1950s,
oh,
the 1940s. That's it, man. I'm watching those. I don't care how many times I watch it. I'm going to keep watching those movies. There's something special about those actors, actresses, and they have not been, nobody has come close to any of them. So I love watching those kinds of movies.
Buddy, I could not agree more. About 5 years ago, I fell in love with noir. And I even now, the shows that come out, I've always liked it, but I didn't really understand that it was its own thing. Now, films that come out now that have that element, love that too. Or any detective show, it's great. That's a great answer.
Yeah,
so,
that's it, man. That's where you're going to find me when I'm watching television. It's noir all the time.
All right, good to know. Well, next time we'll talk noir movies and we'll talk a little Milwaukee if you're so willing. It's been great having you on the show.
Hey, man, I'm honored. Thank you.
Honor's all mine. Thanks, Earl. Good luck with the Biden interview.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Yes, sir.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
All right, that's Earl Ingram. And I, Conrad, what are you doing? You saying we're number one?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, no, he's saying we have to go to a break. All right, coming up next here at Civic Media is our phenomenal award-winning news team is going to bring you the news for a few minutes, and then we're going to hear from Joby Sad, and then we're going to welcome Joby onto the show at 8:20. Get your vote in. Who is the greatest actor of all time? Let us know. We'll read it on the radio. Great to have you with me on this rainy Tuesday night in our awesome state of Wisconsin.
We'll be right back.